Seamus, the case of the thieves and brigands, part 11, Mind the Iron Skillet, is inspired by the book by James H. Collins, The Great Taxicab Robbery.
After some much-needed sleep, I called Cassis and left a message for him to meet me at the diner. I wasn't thrilled about having done his dirty work for him, but the cool $5,000 tucked into the hidden safe in my closet soothed my anger. I knew Doris would have something to say about my current state, and I wasn't wrong.
Hunter James, what happened to your face?
I had a little accident.
Accident? You look like someone beat the hell out of you.
Yeah, I accidentally let someone beat the hell out of me. Accidents happen.
Who are you trying to fool? Who was it? You tell me who it was, and my cast iron skillet will give him an accident of his own.
I'd rather not say. It's a work thing.
All collateral damage, you. You think I can't do it?
No. Who's going to take over this greasy spoon if you're in prison? I'd starve.
You probably would. Someone's got to keep an eye on you.
Know that I appreciate it. And can I get a cup of coffee?
Coming right up.
Oh, and Doris?
Yes?
You have any chicory?
Chicory? What in the Seven Hills of Rome is that?
Oh, nothing. Something I heard recently.
How hard did they hit you? You want some scrambled eggs for that scrambled brain of yours?
Sure. Yeah, I'll take the usual. I'm starved.
At least you're eating. I'll be right back with your coffee.
Thanks. It's not that I don't believe Doris could take Artemis Crowley. Hell, I'd pay $5 to watch her slam that skillet of hers across his fat head a few dozen times. But I like Doris. She's good people, and I try not to drag the ugly side of my work in here with me. I look up from my first sip of coffee to see Cassis rolling in. He blended in everywhere and nowhere at the same time in those quirky but mainstream graphic t-shirts and easy practiced smile. Nobody else seems to notice he came in. Becker was probably right when he said this guy was good. I guess at some things I'm better.
Mr. James, just coffee for lunch?
He slides into the booth across from me and smiles. Coffee's good for whenever you need a cup of coffee.
Deeply philosophical, sir.
He stops talking and takes a good look at my face.
Tough day at the office.
Yeah, you could say that. I tracked down the thieves Becker was looking for.
Becker?
He is the guy who hired you, right? Tall guy, rather serious, pays better than you.
Sounds like him.
After the guys that stole what you're looking for beat the snot out of me and threw me in a dumpster, your boss was kind enough to drag me down to the fake auto shop at 2 o'clock in the morning to have a chat.
Oh? That does sound inconvenient.
That's not what I'd call it.
How was the conversation?
Enlightening.
Here you go, brawler. Usual. Can I get you anything, hon?
I think a cup of coffee, please.
Coming right up. Cream and sugar are on the table.
You're too kind, madam.
Ha! Someone has manners. Be right back.
You were saying?
Oh, was I?
You seem upset with me, Mr. James. You know, communication is key to any good relationship.
Let's see. Our relationship. I'm doing your dirty work for you on the cheap, it would seem.
I don't do field work. Not my forte. As for your compensation, I did pay you the agreed-upon amount. Perhaps you should value your time more.
I'm going to ask Doris to get her frying pan. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind.
Well, did you come find anything?
Maybe. Here. I slid the busted camera over to Cassis. Start with that.
You mean what's left of it?
My guy, Wings. You know, my friend that got jumped in the alley spying on your guys. He had it with him. Since you don't do field work, you think you can get somebody to look at it and see if there's anything there?
I can make that happen.
Good. Next, Becker, your boss.
Tut tut. Right now it appears we both work for Becker.
I stopped long enough to realize that he was right. But a job is a job. I think having Cassis around might be good for me, until it's not. Fine. Becker said this might be an inside job. You think Pierce was in on it?
Isn't that what you are supposed to find out?
Help me work this case or I punch you in the mouth.
If I had the choice, I'd prefer to avoid the latter. Fine. Communication, right? Emails and text messages show Mr. Pierce was a bit disgruntled of late. It would seem working as a grunt at a security company didn't hold the prestige one might expect.
Or was he stealing?
No. His records were all in order. We found the data breach. Seems another employee had an unsecured OnlyFans page. They were trying to get in that way. I haven't brought myself to look at the fan page.
I'm not looking at it. What about the USB drive?
It's the fastest way to transfer a lot of data. Did you know that Pierce regularly requested Abel Thomas as his driver?
Not very secure.
My theory is that Mr. Pierce got too comfortable chatting up his favorite Uber driver and either gave him the idea or helped plan it. Either way, I know Thomas is in on this.
If Pierce was in on it, why'd they try to kill him?
Not the brightest bulb in the bunch, but I don't think Pierce was in on it.
What was on that flash drive?
Data, that's all I can say.
Our boss gave me a USB drive. You know anything about that?
It's encoded. I doubt someone unskilled can crack it, but you never know.
How do you know they haven't cracked the code already?
They haven't. Not yet, anyway. Trust me, everyone will know when they do.
I was inclined to believe him. Well, let me know what you find on the camera, yeah? I gotta go.
What's the next adventure, then?
I gotta go get a cup of coffee.
How much coffee do you need?
I managed to hide the grin on my face until I left the diner. I wasn't going to tell Cassis that I was talking to a witness at the coffee shop. After all, I can't give information I don't have yet, and no, I don't feel bad about it. The coffee shop was pretty quiet when I arrived. A young woman with her hair pulled back under a hat with the shop's logo stitched across the front stood behind the counter. She finished taking the order of a man in blue scrubs. Her name tag read Rachel.
Welcome to the cafe. How can I help you?
Hi, are you Rachel?
Oh, no. Are you Derek? There's no way you're 25. That's it. I'm deleting these dating apps. I'm so sick of men lying about...
No, ma'am, I'm not Derek. My name is Hunter James. I'm investigating the incident that occurred in the alley recently. I understand you witnessed it?
Oh, sorry. No offense. I have a blind date after work. Guess I'm a little nervous. But I already told the cops everything I know. I talked to you guys the day it happened. A detective, Manitoba? Something like that. Tall guy. Kind of a jerk.
Yeah, that sounds right. Anyway, I'm not with the police. I'm a private investigator. My card. She holds the card too close to her face like she needs glasses.
Private investigators are real?
I'm real. Licensed and bonded. You have a few minutes to discuss what happened?
Oh, okay. Thanks. I'm okay with it, but you can't walk through the shop. Health codes and whatnot, but I can meet you at the back door. Let me grab someone to watch the register. I'll be right back.
She hurried to the back, still staring at my card. The smell of the coffee shop was glorious compared to the stink in the alley. The smell triggered the memory of my dumpster diving escapade, making my head hurt. Rachel was standing half in and half out of the door leading to the alley. She was smoking a vape that she quickly tucked in her pocket as I came around.
So I was throwing away the trash and I didn't see much.
Do you have a cigarette?
It's CBD. It's legal.
Look, kid, I'm not trying to bust you for anything. I'm trying to help my friend.
Okay, sorry. It really is CBD, but the owner would flip out. I need it. Do you know the kind of people I have to deal with every day?
Why don't you just say small, medium, and large?
Because that's what the company says we have to call it. Why can't we have a plain coffee? Because we have 50 of them. Why is this so expensive? I don't set the prices.
It does sound rough. I'm not going to get you into trouble. You see the car in the alley? Can you describe it?
Yeah. Blue, four-door, totes a mom car. It had been there most of the day.
And you didn't think that was odd?
Not really. Ever since that roofing company moved in a couple of months ago, they've been parking different cars in the alley every week. It's a real pain. Sometimes our delivery trucks can't get through. I know several people in the mall have called the cops to complain. But when they get here, the car is always gone. It's like they knew they were coming.
Interesting. And what did you see?
I heard tires screeching up and another car pulled up behind it. The driver and two other guys got out. A big guy and a dude with blonde hair. They stood in a circle and talked for a moment. I didn't hear what they said. I was standing with the door cracked, so I don't think they saw me. There was a bright light, like the flash of a camera. Then this really big dude started wailing on this poor homeless guy. It was messed up. I pulled the door, so I was only looking through a small crack. But I saw the big guy walk up to the driver. He said, "Ready?" And the driver nodded, and the big guy punched him right in the nose. He dropped like a ton of bricks. The guy with the hair grabbed a bag out of the back seat, laughing. They got into the blue car and hauled butt down the alley. I closed the door and called 911.
Is that what you told the cops?
No. I told them I didn't see anything. I was only supposed to throw away the trash. They'd want to know what I was doing for so long. I don't want to get busted, and those guys were super scary. What if they saw me? If they knew I was a witness, they might come after me too. No thanks. I've got my own problems.
That it?
Sure. What kind of cases do you investigate?
All kinds. And feel free to call me if you think of anything or have your own questions.
Thanks. I will.
She closed the door. The big guy was probably Artemis Crowley. The guy with the hair, Craig Dover. The interesting bit was Artie asking Abel if he was ready before hitting him.
This has been Seamus, the Case of the Thieves and Brigands, Part 11, Mind the Iron Skillet, and is based on the book by James H. Collins, The Great Taxicab Robbery. Hunter James was played by Sheldon Bird. Doris Poole was played by Jean Phillips. Alden Casas was played by Matthew Greff. Rachel was played by Denise Shannon. I'm Leslie Woodruff. This episode of Seamus was written by Max Rees and directed by Jean Phillips. Seamus is a New Meadows Media production. All rights reserved.